Coming up with the NFL draft looming just 17 days away, what does Big Blue still need to accomplish as we take a look at the NFL rankings for teams and all of the key positions? OBJ signs, no, it was not back in either New York team. What does that tell us about what Big Blue needs to continue to accomplish to fill out the roster around Danny Dimes? Ah, yes, my friends, it is OGP, the One Giant Podcast, where, of course, we are your hosts over here, Adam Armbrecht, breaking down the Brooklyn Nets, heading into the playoffs on the Locked On Nets podcast with my boy Doug Norrie and your New Jersey Devils. Also heading into the playoffs over on the Devils Puck Luck podcast with Danny McDonough. But there, my friends, is the healthy, wealthy, and wise, the seasoned generational ticket holder for Big Blue, Mr. Andrew Mackiewicz. How are we, sir?
I mean, you got so much going on. Just that intro alone, you've got the Nets going into the playoffs. You got the Devils. Obviously, I know that you're a Red Bull season ticket holder. We have OGP. You are just making the rounds on all the teams. And right now is like busy season for you, huh?
I did not realize the launching being in the Devils podcast now in the way it coincides with NBA. I was like, well, okay, it could be a little bit tricky here. But then you throw on Giants and the offseason and where the timing of the draft is, and it does start to stack up a little bit in a great way, though, because this way I get to keep dipping my toes into every single waters here, and there's never a dull moment. And frankly, when it comes to the Giants, this does feel like a little bit of that like minor lull after free agency period. We know the draft is looming. Everyone's doing their mocks. Everyone's talking about prospects. Who are guys that are rising, right? How can the Giants improve? But it does feel like we're in this just little momentary pause before those final 2 weeks where I think everything really does ratchet up and we'll start to kind of cement, especially in the first round, what are the players that are going to be available truly relative to where it looked 2 weeks ago, a month ago, and then even thinking back to the end of last season, because we know these boards exist all the way through the college season as well. I do find it hilarious how much names can move around.
Yeah, I mean, we're 17 days out, so you're going to hear a lot of smoke and mirrors too come out from teams that say, we're totally out on this guy. We definitely don't want to draft him. He's, we looked up his injury history. Yeah. We definitely don't want him, and then they trade up for him later on. So there's going to be a lot of misinformation, but I think what's good for us, Adam, is we kind of know what areas the Giants are going to focus on based on what they did in the offseason in free agency. Now we kind of have a better idea of the 2, 3, maybe 4 positions that the Giants are probably going to focus on most April 27th.
So Mike Clay over on ESPN, and we are, by the way, still going to give a nod, as I mentioned in the top there, to OBJ, because I think there are some fun ways to tie it back into the New York Football Giants. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But Mike Clay from ESPN, he put out his rankings positionally and then overall for every NFL team ahead of the draft. And we know that some things can shift here. But before we talk about how far the Giants could move the needle, I'm curious to you. This is an on-the-spot thing. The top 10 teams overall ranking, according to Mike Clay, with the way he has them, all the positions on defensive and offensive side of the ball, both sides of the ball get graded out as well. Go ahead. Can you try to name 5 of the top 10 teams, if you off top of your head here, because I don't think Andy has digested this list hard enough to not have this be kind of a little bit of a quiz here for old Andy.
Interesting. Okay. So if I'm guessing it, I'm guessing that the Eagles are in the top 10.
They're right there. Number one, baby.
Okay. And the Chiefs are in the top 10.
The Chiefs are there. They are 7th.
They're 7th. Interesting. Okay, and then I'm going to go with something like a surprising one, a team that did not make the playoffs last year in the Chargers.
The Chargers are there. Yes, the Chargers are there just ahead in the 6th spot above the Chiefs.
So I've got a couple of them that I'm working on so far. I don't know how far we can go. I'll go the Bengals, I guess, considering.
Bengals are there at number 4. Listen, you're basically crushing this thing. You haven't missed a single one. Give me one more you think top 10. We'll see if you close out strong.
That's a tough one. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills do sneak in there at number 5. So We're going to talk about the Giants here coming up in a second. And this takes into account every positional value. There's some really nice things for the Giants. And then I'm interested to see where Andy stands on if some of these positions are as, quote, weak as maybe these rankings suggest. But the top 10 look like this: Eagles, Cowboys, Dolphins, Bengals, Bills, Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, Browns, and the Jets rounding out the top 10. Now, to be clear, because we talk about QB rankings here, the Jets QB position gets a 3.4. That is strongly, I would assume, predicated on Aaron Rodgers being a part of their roster and not because Mike Clay thinks that Zach Wilson is going to take a seismic leap in year number two. So, you know, to me, we wanted to talk where the Giants stand here, but it's funny that already two of the NFC East teams, are going to be in that top 10 there. You mentioned a non-playoff team, but that has a lot of talent in the Chargers, and a team like the Browns, who obviously are predicated on having gotten Deshaun Watson and now finally being able to bring all of that together. Andy, where do you think the Giants rank? Let's just go offensively and defensively. Where do you have this fine team of ours on both sides of the football?
Oh, so this is a tough one. I don't think that they're going to be as low as some people may think, just because they did make the playoffs and they brought some of that team back. Offensively, I'm going to say that they are 16th, and defensively, I'm going to say that they're 12th. How did I do?
Okay. They are so 16th and 12th offense to defense. This team stands offensively as the 19th and 17th defensively. 19 and 17 defensively. Now, you're not too far off. You gave a bit more credit to the offensive side of the ball than I guess maybe in theory you should. But here's what I thought was interesting about it. On the offensive side of the ball for the New York Giants, what do you think is the highest after, let's say, after running back, that's Saquon Barkley? What's the next highest offensive position for this team? Positional group.
I am going to guess the quarterback position.
Oh, baby. And that's a great guess, but it's wrong. Tied with the running back room is tight end now.
Tight end room. Yeah. I forgot about rating. Waller being there. Obviously, yep. Bumps it up. You know, when healthy, he's a top five type of tight end.
So after that, it is the quarterback position, 2.4 with Daniel Jones. And to give you a sense of like where that ranks, the Jaguars are a 3.0 team. The Ravens, who again, I'm going to assume they're predicating on having Lamar Jackson back. We'll talk about OBJ. They're a 3.3. And if you go back up to those top teams, 3.6 for the Eagles. It's interesting though, because it's about total team building. Just a 2.5 for, say, a team like the Dolphins, but they're third overall in these rankings here. And then you have some of those usual suspects, a 4.0 for the Chiefs, a 3.9 for the Bills, and on down the list we go. I do find it interesting, and I'll ask you this question, because when you look over the offensive side of this football for the Giants, that is the only three positions for Big Blue that are in the positive rating, or we consider to be tiered out. So Mike Clay does it on a, you know, premise of you're going to have red, light red, deep red is bad. High green, deep green is going to be obviously your best position. So the 3.4s are very good. Those are the three positions that are in the positive by Mike Clay standards. The ones that are not are wide receiver and offensive line. So three out of the five, though, are in the right spot here. Let's tie it big picture. If you had been like Lamar Jackson, who's clearly been negotiating somewhat publicly about what he wants, OBJ signs for $15, $16 million with some real guarantees in there. What would you, as Daniel Jones, have demanded from the New York Football Giants if you were in that position of power? Because essentially, he negotiated for his contract. Obviously, he wants to be able to be a part of it, wants the team to improve. But when you see your number one, technically wide receiver in Richie James, sign with the Kansas City Chiefs in the offseason, you see a contract that, like this for OBJ. You're Daniel Jones. What was your demand coming into the offseason?
Well, I think it would have been to get another pass-catching weapon, which is what the Giants ended up doing. I don't think you demand a number one wide receiver. You say, give me weapons on offense. And I think Darren Waller actually checks that box where the Giants say, hey, we're going to get you a big time offensive threat. You know, what they did around that is be able to get, you know, mid-tier type wide receivers into the wide receiver room, because also this team is also trying to build up so much of this depth. We talked about Marcus Johnson getting snaps and how many guys off the practice squad, you know, the David Sills of the world getting legitimate playing time, it's like we need to raise up the floor on some of these different positions. So I think the Giants have done good for Daniel Jones in terms of locking up Saquon Barkley, making sure that he doesn't go anywhere for this year, and going out and getting a pass-catching weapon for him to be able to throw the ball downfield to. I do think that it is kind of an incomplete grade, though, Adam, because we still have the draft upcoming, and we think that the Giants are going to prioritize another offensive weapon in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about it, right? So we already mentioned here, Eagles and Cowboys, they're the top two teams by these rankings. If you think about their positional rankings, both those teams have just, well, Eagles have just one, would you consider to be neutral in terms of the running back position for them on the offensive side of the ball. But everything else, offensive line, it's a 4.0, tight end 3.3, 3.6 for the wide receiver room, and we mentioned the 3.6 at their QB spot. Likewise for the Cowboys, their tight end group is not as strong as it could be. Neither is their running back room, obviously, right now, after Zeke being retired effectively, it feels like, from the league. But they still have the draft to work with as well. When we flip over to the defensive side of the ball, we'll continue to tie in the division here. The Eagles, by this metric, need to marginally improve their defensive front. Their linebacking core leaves a lot to be desired, as does the safety position. Frankly, the Cowboys are very strong. Up front, linebacking core could use some help, but they have strong edge rushing grades, cornerback grades, and the safety position. So a secondary, hard to move the ball against. When you get down to the Giants, there's only one that is considered to be a blue chip position for them on the defensive side of the ball, and that's the defensive line. You would expect that with Dexter Lawrence, maybe a big contract coming for him. Leonard Williams obviously making big money. But every other position, I'll ask you this actually, because every other position goes 1.1 to 1.3 at its best from edge, linebacker, cornerback, and safety. Do you find the edge grade there being as low as it is? Do you find that a little bit surprising? We know there's some injury concerns around Ojulari, but at least your top two, you know, your top two in that group could be premier players coming into the season.
So this is one of those feelings where, as a Giant fan, you like the explosiveness of Kayvon Thibodeau. When Azeez Ojulari has been out there, you like it. But if you think about around the league, when you think of like, well, what do, for instance, the Chargers have, right? They've got Bosa. They've got Khalil Mack. They have big-time, big-name people.
Well-established, right.
Yeah, what about the Browns? They have Myles Garrett, and it could be me, and they'd still be an amazing ranking, right? And so, like, it's one of those things where we think that Azeez Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau are great, but when you actually think about, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence and other guys on different teams, they would say that they're pretty formidable as well. So for me, I think we like our own guys a little bit more than maybe the rest of the league does. And there's been some injury history with Azeez Ojulari, and Kayvon Thibodeau looked great when he was out there, but obviously, you know, he had a couple of injuries. He's still getting acclimated as well. So projecting forward, I think I like where our, edge rushing group is. But I think in terms of what have you done so far in the league, it's understandable that some of these other big names end up being higher up on the list.
And I tend to agree with you. I will also note that, like, that positional grade there of 1.1, like, that puts the Giants in the bottom half of the league at the position. So that to me is like a little bit surprising, because you have plenty of teams, the Commanders, the Raiders, the Bucks, all ahead of them. Even teams that aren't great at the position, like the Titans, are still above board there. And then you get into some of the more positive ones, which are going to include the Lions, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Browns, as you mentioned, the Chargers, the Bills, Bengals, Dolphins, Cowboys, and Eagles are all there. So you're talking about being middle of the pack, but I think that this is where the Giants, and I'm sure a lot of fan bases would say, yeah, and then we get to the draft and just you wait. But I actually think the Giants, more than a lot of teams around the league, can significantly change the way you view certain positions for them just through one draft class. So we've already talked about wide receiver. Hey, if you add a guy at 25, if it's Zay Flowers, who Andy's been, you know, getting consistently more and more high on as the draft approaches, as a lot of people have, if it's Zay Flowers, well, yeah, that dramatically shifts the hierarchy of your wide receiver room and what you think you can accomplish. If you add one edge rusher, maybe in the first three picks that you have all the way to 89, and you put them into that group, well, now all of a sudden, Ojulari and Thibodeau and these guys become rotational, and you have a third stud player potentially contributing. That moves the needle significantly. This is, it's a funny way of complementing how much better the Giants can get through the draft, by noting how relatively thin they still are at all of, at a lot of these positions, right? So other teams would say, well, we have a nice elite number one and two wide receiver. We bring in another guy, it makes us better. But I think the Giants stand to actually improve themselves significantly depending on how they apply capital.
Yeah, what I think is interesting too, and you kind of talked about it, about the edge rushing and the defensive ends. It's like, think about where we are even in our division, because you say they kind of grade out as below average. You talk about the Washington Commanders. Like, they have Montez Sweat, who had 8 sacks, Pro Football Focus rating of almost 87. He was awesome this year. Yeah. On the other side, when healthy, they have Chase Young, right? Who was, you know, tank for Chase Young was one of the things that, you know, coming out of college that people like. When you think about the Cowboys, they have DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, right? Would you trade, Adam, would you trade Azeez Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau for Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence? Like, when you start
I would tend to lean that way.
Yeah, you would tend to lean towards that. And so when you think about it, even, you know, obviously, Josh Sweat.
What a terrible thing to ask me. Would I trade for Dallas Cowboys? Ooh.
Well, basically a defensive player of the year. You're like, maybe that, yeah. Maybe, you know, can I interest
maybe
you?
Maybe it's
in
worth
that?
It.
And that's why it, you know, when you get around the league, you realize how good some of these other rosters are. And to this point, the Giants roster looks significantly better at the wide receiver position. If we go out and we draft the top 5 wide receiver coming out of this draft, like, you'd think that would elevate and vault us. And clearly, you know, that's one of the areas that everyone acknowledges the Giants still need help, even after signing multiple wide receivers this offseason.
Do you look at, and I agree with you on that front, do you look at, when we see this OBJ, I mentioned it in there, OBJ signs, what the Giants could look for, Richie James, he goes to the Chiefs, he was the highest reception leader for the New York Football Giants last season. Should we take it as a positive that the Giants and that Kafka and Dable believe, yes, the system is being put into place here, and now we actually feel more confident with what we saw from Daniel Jones that we can bring in the next wave of talent? Because ironically, the Giants are now moving, and I want to talk a little bit just about the draft and some of these key positional grades that Mike Clay put out there. But I find it interesting that you're going to have a new receiver, a tight end in Darren Waller. You're going to have new receivers in Paris Campbell in the wide receiver room. There's a world, I thought about this before, if Sterling Shepard does not have a role on this team, when the Giants walk onto the field to start this season, Isaiah Hodgins at the wide receiver / tight end group is going to be the most reliable and familiar player that Daniel Jones has lining up, even with Wandale Robinson hopefully coming back healthy, even with Saquon Barkley catching balls out of the backfield, Daniel Bellinger, like, they are still turning over. And then if you add a rookie, a talented rookie, you are still going to be turning over significant positional players here. And we saw all these guys, by the way, getting together with Daniel Jones this offseason. The entire offense was together practicing. It does seem like they have an agenda of wanting to be able to hit the ground running here.
It is true, but when you turn over an entire group of players that you didn't think were that good to begin with in terms of, like, the depth and the explosiveness and ability, right, it's not as hard to replace them or try to get some new consistency and continuity. I mean, keep in mind, Richie James had 57 catches on the year. Paris Campbell had 63 catches and looked explosive when they were getting the ball in his hands for the Colts. And yes, he's had a long list of injury history, just like the majority of the Giants wide receivers do on the roster right now. But when you think about trying to replace all the different things that someone like Richie James brings in, you have Paris Campbell catching 63 balls. Jameson Crowder is a nice veteran signing. You said he's the most accomplished wide receiver we have in the room with, you know, almost 415, depending on what happens with Sterling Shepard. We're trying to manufacture 40, 50, 60 balls in each of these kind of areas. And we're not necessarily putting all our chips on one number. We're saying we just need someone to emerge from this group. And we don't necessarily need to know who it is, you know, in April, but tell me who it is in August and I'll have a better idea.
All right. So let's close out on this thought then. By Mike Clay's rankings of the New York Football Giants, the weakest positions shouldn't surprise anybody. And this is actually interesting too. From wide receiver, offensive line, effectively interior offensive line, edge rusher, cornerback, and safety. All 5 of those positions receive the exact same grade, 1.1, and then a 1.3 for the linebacker group. So the areas of need are, relative to the talent they currently have on the roster, all about equal. The impact of each one of those positions, depending on what you do, I think changes it. I'll give pushback and then a question about the draft. My pushback on the positional rankings is this, and some people, I think a lot of Giants fans would agree with us. Some would say you're putting a lot of expectations on a late round pick. I think Darian Beavers, combined with having gone out and added talent, a legitimate starter in free agency, which we were putting in Band-Aids for the last couple of seasons, I think if Darian Beavers is coming back healthy, that dramatically changes the way I look at the linebacking core. Understanding, I'm going to want to add another edge or linebacker to the group, but I like a Thibodeau, Okereke, Darian Beavers, Ojulari. Like, I feel pretty good about those four players and then wanting to have depth behind them. Likewise for the safety position, man. I find it somewhat not suspect, but I will be interested to see the way things look after losing Julian Love, knowing you're going to have McKinney, who's getting closer to that contract area for him. And then, you know him, Mr. Dane Belton. Like, I think that probably the league or people from the outside are undervaluing where the Giants think Dane Belton's game is going to go in year number two. I don't think they're going to miss. Now, from a depth perspective, they have to figure things out. But from a top-end talent, I actually think the Giants are in a great position in the secondary.
You know, Julian Love is a tough loss for us. Obviously, he goes, you know, and signs with the Seattle Seahawks on a 2-year deal that seemed relatively reasonable given what the numbers were. But to your point, Adam, the Giants didn't see that much of a drop off in someone like Jason Pinnock maybe stepping up and being in that role. You know, Pro Football Focus doesn't always tell the story, but Jason Pinnock was a 61, Julian Love was a 70. Obviously, there is a little bit of a drop off, Adam, but is it $5 to $7 million worth of allocating additional funds drop off? Or are there other areas that the Giants needed help, like, I don't know, wide receiver or you know, addressing the linebacker position with Okereke? So, like, I think
I would say Okereke. It is Okereke. You're saying it correctly.
Okereke. I mean, that's it's difficult to pronounce either way. I'm going with Okereke because that's the one that I think that makes the most sense when I read it. But yes, I think Darian Beavers coming back healthy is a big one for the Giants. The Giants had big plans for him, Adam, before he got hurt. Yes. He was going to step in that role. It was part of the reason why they were okay letting Blake Martinez go the way that they did, right? They had faith that he could step in and perform admirably. The problem is he's a late round pick that got hurt before the season even started. So who's to say that he's going to step up the way that the Giants think he is when everyone else passed on him in the draft? So understandable that they're ranking all of these things. I'm surprised that the cornerback position is graded the way that it is, partly because I don't think the league looks at Adoree Jackson and says that's a top 10 cornerback in the league. I think they may say that he's a solid number one, but even past him, it's a question mark for the Giants and who's going to be the second cornerback on this team. For me, that feels like it should be lower than the safety position, which has a standout in Xavier McKinney, which you'd say he's a top 10, top 12 safety in the league when healthy.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It is interesting. I wonder what the perception is of Adoree Jackson. And I think in a lot of ways, like, we like him. We think that he's played at a high level for the Giants. And in some regards, though, you look at it in Wink Martindale's system and say, well, you can – I'm going to say get away, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, but you can get away with Adoree Jackson being your number one corner when you're functioning the way that Wink Martindale wants the defense overall to play. You can make the case that maybe Adoree is being undervalued relative to who's played across from him for the Giants defense, right? And he's still been able to play to a high level in spite of most offenses saying, let's stay away from him, or we can pick a lot of other battles here. But it's great that you bring up that position relative to safety, which I think there should be a marginal gap around how they get graded out, and then the draft. Because we'll close out on this thought. We all know the positions the Giants are looking at. We all know that there should be somebody there. And some of the questions become, what if one of those defensive linemen are there? Is that something that interests the Giants enough where positional value adds up? But to me, when I look at the secondary, this is going to be where I potentially start to move my needle towards. Even if Deontay Banks is not there for the Giants, there are guys that aren't going to be there at 57. Maybe there's a marginal move back you can make. But I start to look at it as the wide receiver group offers me more at 57 than the cornerback room is going to. And I think that Joey Porter Jr. has been getting a little bit more conversation lately. I don't think that's first round, but he is technically ranked above Banks right now. I don't know, marginally if you like one or the other, but Emmanuel Forbes, Kylie Ringo, who I've mentioned as well, and then you can even get down to a guy like Tyreek Stevenson, that's later than the first round, but a guy like him who I actually think offered some value coming out of his combine performance. If you had to today, Andy, this is the way we'll close it out. Make your choice about position. Are you locked into wide receiver at 25, given that there should be at least one, maybe two guys that are going to be available there?
The answer is yes, and I will tell you why.
That's interesting.
Let me see if I can convince you on this one, right? Okay. So I've thought about this quite a bit because I do like having flexibility of taking the best player available. I don't think the Giants should force anything. If 10 wide receivers go before them, they shouldn't just pick the 11 because they need it. So I will have that as a caveat. But if you have your choice and the guys are relatively similar, I would take a wide receiver. And the reason why is pretty simple. Odell Beckham just got $15 million guaranteed on a one-year deal. They can't even move the cap flexibility for the Ravens. They literally gave him $15 million guaranteed coming off two debilitating season-ending knee injuries over the last couple of years. And you haven't seen him catch a pass since the Super Bowl, right? $15 million for an off-injured two ACL tear wide receiver that, when healthy, is explosive. $18 million is what he can max out at. That is crazy expensive for a huge question mark. And when you think about, okay, well, what about the cornerback position? There's a guy named Marcus Peters who is right now technically a free agent cornerback. He graded out with a 65 Pro Football Focus rating last year. He's 30 years old. And he's a free agent right now. He may get $3 or $4 million on the open market. I think it's easier to find a veteran 30-year-old cornerback that could be a cornerback too and help mentor them than there is to find a wide receiver that can make that type of impact in the secondary free agent market right now. So for me, I look at it and say, wide receiver is so expensive. You could see how much it's ballooning for some of these great players. Let's get one under team cost control. And on the cornerback side, it's really hard. It's not as hard as it is on the wide receiver front to go find a veteran to fill in admirably.
So it's fair to say that you you are comfortable with, and I don't mean this negatively, that you're comfortable with more band-aids at the cornerback spot, potentially just, a veteran band-aid. And then looking in later rounds for another cornerback, or even, and it could be second, could be third, right? Could be 89, but I'll put the band-aid on top and I'll look to address it as we move along. Wide receiver, I'd like to be having the full surgery and repairing the position.
Yes, and I'll give you another reason why, Adam, and tell me if this moves the needle for you at all. The Giants just don't have any wide receivers other than Paris Campbell under contract, basically, next, after this upcoming season. Obviously, you have Wandale Robinson, and you have Paris Campbell, but they can kind of get out of that deal. When you think about the cornerback room, they still have Aaron Robinson, Rodarius Williams, Cordell Flott, who they just drafted. They still have Darnay Holmes on the roster. They have a bunch of internal guys that they could look at and say, is one of them worthy of a second contract? Are we going to bring them back? Sure. We don't have the same thing in the wide receiver room. It's a big question mark after this season. So I'd rather secure that, get a free agent in the cornerback room potentially, and try to figure it out and see if any of our internal guys can actually last longer than just the season.
And people will probably rightfully point out, what about Robinson? He had the injury last year, had the appendicitis, all those things. And I think that you can look at that position and say, certainly there's more, potential here than maybe we realize, but you're at least going to add something. Oh, I don't hate it, man. I'm open at 25 right now. And the way that I'll frame it is to close out. When you go down, this is by ESPN, you can use a lot of different boards, but hey, let's use something as a baseline here. When you go all the way down to 75, and we know the Giants will pick at 89, they're picking up at 57. When you go through there, ironically, man, or oddly enough, Rashee Rice out of SMU, he's 70th overall on ESPN's big board. And the guy that I've been talking up for a long time, I've been talking about since day one of this offseason, the first time I looked at wide receivers, Jonathan Mingo is now 54th on ESPN's big board. This is a guy that at one time this offseason was in the 160s or 170s. So between just tape getting studied, combine performance, all the measurables, all of a sudden he has dramatically shifted up. And I only bring it up to say, there's two things that benefit you in this argument. It's, are these receivers going to be there when you're picking at 57, when you're picking at 89? Would you have to move up to target one of them potentially? Hopefully somebody falls into your lap. Cedric Tillman is right there as well for you. And then the other argument for you would be, when I go back and look at those cornerbacks, I mentioned Tyreek Stevenson. He's there at 67 overall on the big board. So again, you're in that muddling middle ground after 57, before 89. Is there value there in the second round? Sure, maybe. But all the other cornerbacks than at least I've liked so far through this process. Kylie Ringo is 46th. Again, you have to move up to get him there. Will he be available for you? But potentially, some of these corners, a Julius Brents, who I haven't looked at a ton out of Kansas State, 49th. The area that those guys bulk up at would probably indicate that someone falls to 57. So even if you really were desperate for a cornerback, one's probably going to be available there, or even at 89. Whereas wide receiver, it's up top here if you're watching on YouTube. And then there's like this little bit of a 25 kind of positional gap on the board before you get into that next tier. So if you don't get one at 25, you're potentially there at 89 going, oh, shoot, what happened? Or what do we need to do? What do we need to add to 89 to move up to target somebody? Which I'm not opposed to, but I do like the idea of gaining more capital, not surrendering it. And we know that that's happened in recent years for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Adam.
At the end of the day,
you're spot on with that assessment. I can't imagine a world where the Giants say, "Okay, let's go cornerback," and then all of a sudden, wide receivers go flying off the board. And at 57, you're like, "We have made a mistake. We have misread what is happening, and now we have to use additional draft capital to move up to get the guy we want." It's not the worst thing in the world, but it feels like wide receivers are probably going to go on a bigger run than the cornerbacks are because there's such a variation in terms of the tiers of how people are ranking the cornerbacks these days. So yeah. For me, I kind of just feel like we've been kind of trying to figure out this wide receiver position for so long and we have yet to address it. Give me one of these guys in the first round that gives me that 50-year option that really can impact that room. And then let's figure out where we're at with the cornerback position. But Adam, listen, at the end of the day, we need both of those spots. And if it happens the other way, I'm okay with it. But we know we need to get better. As Mike Clay pointed out, those are two areas where the Giants are definitely worse than the majority of the league.
And it'd be interesting to see if the Giants say, get the wide receiver. What does that inspire in the second and third round or vice versa? They take the cornerback. Does interior offensive line become the priority at 57? And now wide receiver would move all the way back to 89. To Andy's point, how you build this board out and address the needs and where you slot these wide receiver values, that's going to be critical. Obviously, we're hoping for health and success from the core that they currently have in there. Chief among them, Wandale Robinson. He should be the new Richie James as long as he can stay on the field. You can get us over on YouTube, obviously. You get us on the podcast feed. You can get at AndyMac214 on Twitter, at Adam Armbrecht, where you'll get not only Giants, but also Nets and some Devils and some Red Bulls conversations as well. Continue to support us through this, man. We're going to be ramping up. It's 17 days away, so some mock drafts are coming for you, and also trying to flesh out where that real positional value is, because while 25 is greatly important, and so is 57, and so is 89, you know the Giants need to continue to add depth throughout this draft class. Until next time, friends, as Andrew Mackiewicz would want, need, nay, demand the people know.
As always, let's go big blue.